Okay, we're going to start Chesamid Aleph. Okay, this Gemara we learned already, but we're going to start again. Chesamid Aleph, five lines from the end of the page. Okay, in the Mishnah there was a machlokes between the men and the Chachamim of Meitzi Shem Ram. How many people in the Beis Din do you need Meitzi Shem? Meitzi Shem Ram, the guy gets married to this woman and he says she's not a virgin, and that she committed adultery between the Kedushin and the wedding. So therefore the man is saying she's Chayiv Misa. Yeah. So the mayor says, Beis Din of three is enough. In the Chachamim hold, you need 23. So the Gemara says, the Chiyash Beidin in the Foshas may have it. But if there's a capital punishment, okay, not always is there capital punishment. Why? Because if the woman is innocent, yeah, all the guy has to do is pay a fine, yeah, right? And he can't divorce her. So l'cheira, why should I need a court of 23? So the Gemara says, they're arguing where they're afraid of laz. What does that mean? Because when people start talking about the case, or the yentis start talking about the case, two witnesses might show up. Because the case over here like this in the Mishnah, the husband has no proof. If he had proof, then for sure it's a capital punishment. Then she gets killed. So for sure you need 23. The case of the Mishnah is the husband comes, he has no proof. He says, I have no proof, but I'm accusing my wife of not being a virgin. Okay? Therefore he wants to undo the wedding. It's a mistake. Mekachtois, you know, whatever. So if he's but there's no proof. So the Gemara says, why do you need 23 if he has no proof? It's never going to come to capital punishment because she can't get killed if there's no proof. Right? So why do you need 23 according to the Chachamim? So Ula says, we're afraid of laz. What does laz mean? When the yentas start talking about the case, yeah, what might happen is witnesses might come. Witnesses might come. So that mayor, Savat, a mayor who holds three is enough because it's only monetary. We're not afraid of this laws. We're not afraid of gossip. And therefore, we're not afraid other witnesses are going to come. So therefore, it's only a monetary issue. So three is enough. But Rabban and Savat and the Chachamim hold, we are afraid of laws. We're afraid, three lines in the end of the page. So we're afraid that people will come, maybe, and maybe there will come witnesses that she committed adultery, and therefore it does become a capital punishment. So even now the Chacham say you need 23.
But committing adultery before she's married is not capital offense.
Yeah, no, I'm saying after the Kedushin, though. Don't forget, in the olden days they did Kedushin, and 12 months later they did the wedding. So between that year, if she committed adultery, she gets killed, because she's still a married woman, for all practical purposes. She can't live with the husband yet.
These cases really happen?
Yeah.
In the religious...
She better believe it.
Yeah?
Rava says, Kula alma lalaz lechashinim. It's not true. We're not afraid of gossip. We're not afraid that witnesses are going to come and make it a capital punishment. So why did a Chachamim hold you need a Beis Din of 23? He says, We're worried about the honor of the first judges. What's the case? The case is like this. The Hoch of Mayaskin and the Mishnah speaking, initially, the husband comes, and he says, 8A3. The husband comes and says, I have proof that she committed adultery. So right away, they make a Beis Din of 23. Because it might be capital punishment. Then he doesn't show up with proof. So now the question is, if you dismiss the 23, it's like embarrassment to the 23. We don't need you. I mean, 23 was a bigger Beis Din, a more respectable Beis Din. Yeah. So he says, the guy gathered a Beis Din of 23 to give capital punishment because he said, I have proof. What happened? And he says he failed to prove it. He didn't bring witnesses that it was there. And the husband says to the judges, okay, but at least dino mir dini maminis. judgment monetary case. What's the story? The psula, the ksuba of a psula is 200 zuz. The ksuba of a non-virgin is 100 zuz. So he says, okay, but why? Okay, I have no proof that she's going to get killed. But I don't want to pay a $200 ksuba. I want to pay a $100 ksuba. So he turns to the 23 and he says, okay, forget capital punishment. I want you to judge me three. So what's the machlekes between a mayor and a chachamim? The mayor says, now you can forget the 23 and bring three. Because now the judgment of monetary issue. Whether she gets a ksuba of a virgin, a non-virgin. But the chachamim hold no, you can't do it. It's embarrassing to the judges. And therefore, if it's an embarrassment to the judges, we have to keep it at 23. But you're right, a normal case of Meitzi Shemra, according to Rava, if the husband says, I have no proof, you don't make 23. You only have three.
Probably cost them more than 100 Jews to have 23 judges.
No, they didn't pay. They didn't pay so much then. Okay, then the Gemara says, Meitzi, I'll ask you a question. It says, the Chachamim say, okay, what's the case over here in the Braisa? Again, a husband comes and says, my wife's not a virgin. She officially was supposed to be a psula, she's not. So it says, Chachamim say like this, Tavu Mamin, if the husband is asking for monetary thing, then Bishlesha is enough three. Tavu Nefashas, if he wants to get her killed, then you need 23. So what's the case? A husband comes to the Beis Din and says, hey guys, I just married my wife and she's not a virgin. So Beis Din says to him, okay, so what do you want? What do you want? So if he says, I want her to get killed, so then you gather a Beis Din of 23. If he says, I want to pay a cheaper ksuba virgin, version, because she's not a virgin, so then three is enough.
He makes that kind of decision?
No, Beis Din says, what do you want?
No, I'm asking
you. Anytime there's a din teira, let me tell you something. Anytime there's a din teira, after everybody talks, the plaintiff, the defendant, okay, Beis Din, al pi halacha, Beis Din turns to the plaintiff and says, okay, what exactly do you want? You want money? How much money? They ask, what do you want? They have to know what they're dealing with.
Or even capital punishment.
So here the case is, no witnesses on their own came to Beis Din, right? A guy comes to Beis Din and says, my wife was not a virgin. Okay, it's the day after the wedding. Okay, and he says, she's not a virgin. So Beis Din says, okay, so what do you want? You have proof that she committed adultery? Then we'll gather 23. Yeah. If you don't have proof, we'll gather three.
We're not pushing on him that she lost his for her virginity to him, and now he's making lies.
No, because she says, I didn't do it. What did anybody?
No, it's after the wedding night.
Says she wasn't the virgin from before.
How does he know?
Because when he was with her, he saw she wasn't the virgin.
Maybe he's lying.
That's the whole case. Is he lying? He's not lying.
I mean, there's no witnesses to this. I mean, how does the Beis Din accept this claim so easily?
Anytime there's a claim, Beis Din accepts it. If you have no proof, then Beis Din throws it out.
If Abishnaim Yachim Dabar and Abnir, you don't have two people to witnesses, how could the Pasuk?
If the guy brings witnesses that she committed adultery between the Kedushin and the wedding, she gets killed. That's what the Torah says. Remember, Saw
Yah? Yeah. If he brings aiding that she was Mazane.
Right.
Do they still ask him, do you want to kill her? Or
no.
That's what I'm asking.
No.
Baking is
if the guy already proves, that brings witnesses that she committed adultery after the Kedushin before the wedding, yeah, Beis Din's not going to ask her, what do you want? But she has to get killed.
She has to get killed. He cannot say, well, I don't want her to get killed, but I want the...
No, that's only in the secular law. If you don't press charges, the guy can do whatever he wants to you. And no, in Torah law, if a woman committed a sin and there's witnesses, she gets killed.
Regardless.
By the way, a man also, if he commits a sin, he gets killed.
Huh? What kind of, what do you mean?
Any sin.
No, you mean
Shabbos.
If a man commits adultery, in those days girls got married very young under Bas Mitzvah. If a man committed adultery with a married 10-year-old girl, she's a married girl, 10 years old. He committed adultery with her. He gets killed, she doesn't. If a married woman committed adultery with a 10-year-old boy, because over 9 it's shy, with a 10-year-old boy, she gets killed and he doesn't. He's not under bar mitzvah. Under bar bas mitzvah, you're not responsible.
Yeah, we need a straw. We need a, all this.
Okay, so there's obviously the cases that there was a straw. There's everything involved. Okay, so the Gemara, this is what the Chachamim say. If the husband asks for money, you set a bezin of 3. If he asks for capital punishment, you set a bezin of 23. So the Gemara says, Bishleim l'Rava, according to Rava, the case is understood what this means. Why? What happens, what did Rava say? We're afraid of the respect of the judges. That means first it started with 23, and then it went down to 3. So Tava Mamin Tchila. So therefore Rava says like this. If the guy comes to Chatchila for money, okay, Bishloisha, then you get 3. Tava Nefash is Betchila. What happens if he said first capital punishment? Then Afilu Mamin Besin Vishloisha. In other words, like exactly what Rava said, according to Rechamim, when do you need 23? If he started off by saying a half proof, and then he didn't bring the proof, and he said, okay, but at least I want to deal with the money. So Rechamim, hold, you keep to 23. So then the price makes sense. Elo Ula, but according to Ula, who says that it's only a question of witnesses might come and might not come, cautious is difficult to understand. Because according to Ula, when would the Chachamim ever say 3? Because if you're afraid of gossip, that witnesses will come to testify, even though the husband doesn't even know of them. But if you're afraid of gossip, yeah, then any time there's a case that makes you shame, now you need 23, because maybe gossip will bring the witnesses. So Amar Rava said, and it's interesting, Rava was arguing with Ula, and they bring a proof to Rava, and the question on Ula, yet Rava is answering Ula. Amar Rava says, Ani v'ari shebechabura, me and the lion of the group, who is Rav Chiya bar Avin, interpreted as follows. And this is a crazy case. What did the Chavim say you need 23? The case is like this. The husband brought witnesses. Shazin said that she committed adultery. Okay, what's the case? The guy gets married, comes to Bezin the next morning, says, I found out my wife's not a virgin, and I have witnesses, and he brings witnesses that she committed adultery before the wedding. What happened? Behavior of Adam and the father of the girl, because he's protecting his daughter, bring and does azama to Edi Abal. He disqualifies the witnesses.
Edi Zimim.
So we killed the Baal?
Huh?
We killed the Baal, no?
No, so one second. No, you killed the witnesses.
The Baal never get killed.
So one second. So I have to explain this thing. Wednesday, they get married Wednesday night, like the Gemara says, so you just get married Wednesday night. Why? Because Thursday, Bezdin sat. So in case the guy would complain that she's not a virgin, the Bezdin would be available right away. Bezdin used to sit Monday and Thursday. Because that's when Bezdin officially sat, Monday and Thursday. Because that was in the market days when people came into the city. That's why we read the Torah, and that's why, you know, because Monday and Thursday were market days in the olden times of the Gemara, and people came into the cities. So the Gemara says the Psul gets married Wednesday night. Why he gets married? The Gemara asks why not Sunday night. The Gemara discussed, but Niksubis. But the Gemara says a girl got married Wednesday night. Then in case she's not a virgin, the husband can come the next morning to Bezin and say, okay. So Thursday morning, a guy comes to Bezin and says, hey guys, my wife is not a virgin, and I have proof with witnesses that she committed adultery between the Kedushin and the wedding, so she has to get killed. The father comes. And what does he say? He brings witnesses that say that 2 months before, they saw the wife and the man fooling around. Okay? Then the father comes and disqualifies those witnesses. How does he disqualify those witnesses? He brings two other witnesses that say, right. How could you testify that you saw this woman commit adultery Monday morning in L.A. when Monday morning you were with us in New York? Yeah. It's called Adam Zayman. Which Masechta Sanhedrin is going to be full of Edom Zemim. Okay? Edom Zemim means you don't disagree with the fact. You don't know what the fact is. The second set of witnesses, they don't come along and they say, no, she didn't commit adultery. Because they don't know that. All they're doing is, how could you two testify that Monday morning, this and this day, at this and this time, you saw her commit adultery in L.A. when you were with us in New York? So the Torah says, illogical, another one of the famous illogical cases of Torah, you always believe the second set of witnesses. You always believe the second set. What do? You do to the first witnesses what they wanted to do to the one they testified against. In other words, the first group of witnesses testified that the woman committed adultery, meaning they want her to get killed, so you kill the witnesses. That's what the Torah says. Okay? Illogical, but that's the fact. So now what happens like this. The husband brings witnesses that the wife did commit adultery. Okay? Therefore, the witness is saying she needs to get killed. The father brings witnesses that disqualify those witnesses. Okay? So now, what did the husband want from the wife? If he wanted money. It's all about money. If he wanted money, then the Edom have. So then the Edom have to give money. So then you need a Beis Din of three to decide that. Yeah. If he wanted to kill the woman, then you need to decide about these Edom if they get killed or not. Because we need to know what the husband, what the purpose of the witnesses were. Were they to kill her or were they to give money? That's what Gemara says. So, if the father comes to extract the 100 shekels because there's a fine that if the husband accuses the wife wrongly, the Torah says he has to pay meya kesef, then bishleishin and three is enough. But makom nefashis, but if the husband claims that he might be afraid of witnesses coming and therefore might lead to capital punishment and therefore the woman might get killed, v'asim bishleishin, you need 23. Okay, that's so. Rav explains it even according to Ullah, the Mishnah makes it, the Brisa makes sense. Sometimes you have three, and sometimes you have 23.
Yeah, but how you kill the Eidim Zayim if they're no Asra?
Oh, the Gemara says Eidim Zayim doesn't need Asra. Eidim Zayim, it's the only time, by the way, you kill somebody without any warning. Normally, if a guy commits a crime, you have to warn them. If you don't warn them, they don't get killed. But Eidim Zayim, if two witnesses want to kill somebody and the second group disqualifies the first, you don't have to warn the first group, they get killed without any. The Gemara says clearly later.
Right. Can I just warn the witnesses before they testify? Say, hey,
no. Make sure. No. They don't.
I guess the Torah gives so much power to these two Edim because if they become the same, I mean, they have total responsibility.
Yeah, and what happens if the second set is, if they disqualify the second set?
Because
you always believe the last set.
Yes. Yeah, because since there could be a third set, right, no one is going to mess around.
Right.
There's no case of Hasra.
As I say, by Edom Zayman, there's no Hasra.
You cannot do Hasra either.
Right.
Because it's a Hayati Mon.
Metziut
doesn't allow it.
Is that the Torah's logic?
There's no logic.
This was well known among the community that witnesses could be killed if they come and testify.
No, again, if two witnesses say Shimon got killed, let's say, right? Two witnesses say Reuven killed him. And two other witnesses say Yaakov killed him. What's the din? They cancel each other out and there's no witnesses. That's called hakhasha. Hakhasha is denial, meaning they're arguing about the fact. He says Reuven killed them. He said they say Yaakov killed them, right? So they cancel each other out, and that's it. Even if 10 witnesses come and say Reuven killed Shimon, and 2 witnesses say Yaakov killed Shimon, it's still 2 against 10. 2 and 100 are the same. They cancel each other out, basically. So we have no witnesses. Correct? But here is a different case. They're not arguing Hazama, and I'm explaining it now because we're going to learn a lot about it throughout Sanhedrin. Okay? Hazama is when they don't argue about the fact. For instance, 2 witnesses come and say Reuven killed Shimon Monday morning in LA. Comes another 2 witnesses and say, 1 minute. I don't know who killed Shimon. We don't know anything about that. One thing I know, though, how could you two testify Monday morning you were in L.A. and watched the murder, Monday morning you were with us in Hawaii, or New York. So they're not saying about maybe Reuven did kill Shimon. We don't know. But they're just saying, how can you two testify what you're saying when you were with us? Then the Torah, that's called Hazama. And therefore, that is illogical. The Torah says you always believe the last set of witnesses.
I understand, but what I'm saying is that the fact that Hazama could be killed by Beit Din was known in the community.
Sure. It's in the Pasuk and the Chumash. It's in the Chumash.
So, okay.
And not only that, there's even a weirder thing, there's an explanation for, but there's even a weirder din, which seemingly is more illogical, even though there's an explanation from the Rishonim on it, and that is, if two witnesses testify, Reuven killed Shimon. Okay? And Beit Din accepted the testimony, and they killed Reuven, because he killed Shimon. Right? Mm-hmm. Afterwards, two witnesses come and disqualify the first witnesses.
Too late.
You don't do anything to the witnesses. If Beit Din didn't kill Reuven yet, right? If Beit Din didn't kill Reuven yet, and two witnesses came and disqualified the first, then you killed the two witnesses because they wanted to kill an innocent man, right? So then you kill the witnesses. But if the guy got killed already, you don't do anything to them.
It's gzeiras hakasef.
So, simply, it's illogical.
How about
but there is an explanation for it. Yeah. The Rabbeinu Bechaya Ramban, the Rebbe brings it down in Sichas. The explanation is as follows. And this is a spiritual concept. A honest Beit Din would not be allowed by God to kill an innocent person. Because God is in the judgment. God is there. We're talking about a proper Beit Din. We're not talking about lowlifes, right? Proper Beit Din. Hashem would never allow a Beit Din to kill an innocent person. Therefore, if Reuven got killed by Beit Din, obviously Reuven was supposed to die. Maybe not for this crime, but something else Reuven did, he deserved to die. So therefore, why are you going to kill the witnesses? They didn't testify against an innocent person. The fact that Beit Din killed him shows he wasn't innocent. Maybe for a different crime, we don't know. So why are you doing anything to the witnesses? But if Beit Din didn't kill him yet, and they wanted to kill an innocent person, for that they're going to die.
What if they change their mind? The witnesses
can't change your mind. The Gemara says, you learn out from a pasuk. Once you testify, you cannot react.
Renege.
You can't go back on your testimony.
You can't prove back your.
So you can't say I lied.
No.
You're
not believed to say you lied. Because a person's not believed to say he sinned. So even though it sounds very illogical, but it really is logical. From a spiritual point of view, that Beit Din wouldn't kill an innocent person. I mean, Hashem wouldn't allow Beit Din to kill an innocent person. So if Beit Din killed him, that means he was supposed to die.
Just what you explained yesterday. Then with regard to anger, you can't get angry at a person because...
Whatever.
It's Hashem's will.
Okay. So far in the Gemara, we have two explanations. What the argument between Ramei and the Chachamim, if you need 23 or you need 3. Ula said we're afraid of gossip, and therefore maybe witnesses will come. Even though the husband doesn't have them, they'll come. And and Rava says that the case was, first he asked for capital punishment, he didn't bring the witnesses, and then he says, okay, I want money. Abaya has a third explanation of this argument.
How come Rava over here proves his opponent, Ula?
Because in those days, they didn't fight for I'm right, you're right.
No, until now they were arguing, and then he says,
let me just explain that this price is not a contradiction to what he said. That's all. Yeah, that all many times in the Gemara. Two people are arguing. They bring a proof to one guy, and the other one says, let me explain to you, there's not a question on him. Because they were mamish to see what's right. They weren't interested in selfie go over here.
So when Ula brought his proof?
Ula didn't bring a proof. The Gemara asked a question on Ula, which is a proof to Rava. So Rava says, let me answer, that's not a question on Ula. Abaya, Abaya says like this. Kula mechashin in l'las. Everybody says we're afraid of gossip. Umishum kveda shorishin. And we're also afraid of the honor of the first 23. Okay? But hach of mayaskinan, here is explained like this. The Yisro beistam, when the witnesses warned the woman about committing adultery, they warned her stam. They didn't tell her the method of execution, of death. In other words, like this. We're going to see now in the Gemara. When witnesses warn somebody of a crime, okay, we'll see what the various opinions, you definitely have to tell them what you're doing is forbidden, and you have to tell them it's capital punishment. The question is, do you need to tell him which capital punishment he's going to get?
Yeah. The first two is definite. They have
the first two is a definite.
What is the first two again?
Huh? That it's forbidden and it's capital punishment.
Do they have to say?
But there's four types of capital punishment. So it says like this: V'haytanu d'tanya, u'shar kol chay v'misa shebeteira. In besides idolatry, besides avodah zarah. You don't kill a person only be'eda with the community, meaning 23 dayanim ve'edim, and it has to be witnesses ve'hasra, and has to be warned, and also ve'ach yodia shulchayiv misabest, and you need to warn the person that he's going to get capital punishment. Rabbi Yehuda takes it a step further. Ach yodiyu be'eda misa hu nedak. You have to tell him what capital punishment he's going to be getting.
The pasuk has to be told them also, that what pasuk you're transgressing?
No. You have to tell them like this. According to the Chachamim, you have to tell them it's forbidden, and you're going to get capital punishment. That's it. Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to tell them three things. It's forbidden to do it, you're going to get capital punishment, and you're going to get stoned, or burnt, or whatever the capital punishment
is.
Anytime. Except Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, you also don't need warning. You see a guy kill, do Avodah Zarah, you kill him right away. That's what the Gemara says.
Yeah, that's right.
Can I put him?
What, Avodah Zarah? No.
You said you just kill him right away?
No, Bezdin, I'm saying. You don't need to warn him. If the witnesses prove that he did Avodah Zarah, they kill him with that. It doesn't have to be warned. Idolatry, not adultery. No, adultery, you have to tell him. That's what you said. Yeah, they didn't tell him what the death penalty was.
Oh, we said if you bring Eden. The husband brings Aiden.
That what?
That saw that she...
And that they warned her which, according to the Buddha, which death it is.
5 minutes ago we said they didn't have to say any warning or anything.
It's speaking, they didn't warn the woman which capital punishment. So according to the Buddha, there's no capital punishment. So what court case is only about monetary things?
No, like
so the mayor says 3 is enough.
When we were talking about Aiden and Aiden Zemir, you said that is one of the cases you don't
even
have
to. And the Adam Zaymimin, not an adultery. Adam Zaymimin don't have to be warned, you're Adam Zaymimin.
So the first set of two had warned.
Yeah, of course. The woman had to be warned. The only thing is, she was warned without any details. They didn't say which capital punishment. So therefore, according to Rav Meir, hold the Rav Yehuda, that you have to tell her which death also. And because they didn't, what's left over here? It's only monetary. He doesn't want to pay the virgin ksuba.
What if they gave the punishment, but the wrong one? They don't know.
Who doesn't know?
The ones that warned, said the, for example...
So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a warning. You're right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a warning.
So if they say it's Mechal or Shabbos...
Get stoned.
Yeah.
So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the witnesses say, you're not allowed to do this, and if you do it, you're going to get burnt.
No, not that.
It's not warning.
No. If somebody says, you know, I don't know, it's bishul, but instead of bishul, it's being soter. You know, they don't know.
That's not asra. It's not warning at all.
So if they make a mistake in what they were thinking,
malacha. Right?
They have to say the right. Malacha. So that's what I'm asking. So they have to say some sort of pasuk or proof.
Right. They tell them what you're doing. What they prove. What?
Yeah.
That's why the Gemara says Bezdin rarely kills anybody.
Very rarely.
But in those days, people knew how to. They knew how to learn. They knew how to learn, so they knew it.
Majority of people knew how to learn. I mean, there was a percentage that they knew.
Amaretz. We're gonna. The next explanation even better. Let's have Papa Amar. Papa says like this. It's speaking that this woman, the wife who committed adultery, but she's Eishes Chaveda. She was the wife of a scholar. Okay? What's the argument? And the Chachamim argued the argument of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim. This is an interesting argument. Tanya, Rabbi Yosi, Bar Yehuda, Emer. Rabbi Yosi, Bar Yehuda says, Chavet ein tzarech hasra. A scholar doesn't need to be warned for capital punishment. Why? Because the whole purpose of warning is to tell the person the difference between intentional and unintentional. Meaning like this. If somebody commits, let's say for Shabbos, yeah, you get capital punishment. If somebody did it unintentional, you can't kill him. If he didn't know, you're not allowed to do this in Shabbos. You can't kill him, it's unintentional. What does warning do? When the witnesses warn the guy that you're not allowed to do it, then he knows, then he does it, it's intentional.
It does, yes, to say.
So who needs warning? An unlearned person. But a learned person, he knows that you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. He can't come along and say, I don't think you can cook. I didn't know you can't cook on Shabbos, he's a scholar. So he knows he can't cook on Shabbos. So the basic review knows you don't have to warn such a person.
There's such a thing as learned woman?
So this, no, that's what Gemara says. Eishes Chaveda means the a learned, yeah, there was a learned woman.
No, the husband knew.
And now Eishes Chaveda skin, and not Eishes Chaved. Eishes Chaved means the wife of a scholar. Eishes Chaveda means a woman who knew how to learn. Like Bruria.
Oh.
Mrs. Rav Meir.
Or
Rav Nachman's wife, Yalta.
Yeah.
She not learn.
But Asroi doesn't, he has to say, I know, I'm still doing it.
But the evidence, if he didn't say that, he still was going to get killed.
Yeah?
Yep. So therefore, speaking, what's the argument to the mayor and the Chacham? It sounds like this. They didn't warn him. They didn't warn her. According to the Papa, the case over here, the argument to the mayor and the Chachamim, they didn't warn the woman. So Rav Meir says, no warning. It's three. The Chacham say, no, you need 23. Why? Because she was a scholar. And if she's a scholar, she doesn't need warning. Like Rav Meir said, Rabbi Yehuda holds. So therefore, according to Rav Meir, it's a case of capital punishment. According to the Chachamim, it's a case of capital punishment. According to the mayor says, no, you have to warn her anyway. And they didn't warn her. So she's a scholar, tough luck, she's a scholar. You still need to warn her.
Yeah, but if they warn her and she stops, they stop to do the Avera. So there is no more case.
Right, if she stopped the Avera, yeah. If they warn her and she stops, of course there's no case.
Well, it should...
I'll tell you another case. What happens if somebody wanted to desecrate Shabbos, but Nebuch didn't happen by mistake? A guy wanted to cook on Shabbos, and he put something into the oven. And Mamash wanted to cook, and he was warned, and everything happened.
Lights went off,
and the power outage. The oven went out, and it didn't get cooked. Or the Gemara gives another example. You know, you can't harvest something from the ground. Yeah,
yeah.
You cut something from the ground. So a guy is about to cut something from the ground. And two witnesses are warning him, you're going to get killed, da, 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 da. And he cuts it, and it came out, it was already pre-cut. So he didn't cut it from the ground. He's not going to get killed. He wanted it, he did it, he knew it.
What's the
bottom line, he didn't do an Aveda.
Of course not.
Yeah, but it says you have to do tshuva. In Allah, it says if you wanted the sin, even though Hashem didn't make it happen, a guy wants to shoot somebody, he goes, psh. And the guy ducks, whatever.
Yeah, the bullet missed,
whatever. You have to do tshuva, it says. In Shulchan Aruch, it says you have to do tshuva because you wanted, Hashem saved your life. Okay. Someone's
divorce
life.
Your court, you're chayim.
Oh, yeah. Attempted murder is a chayiv, yeah? But in Torah, no. Torah doesn't work that way.
What about if it's Eshet Chaver? Is she considered learned? In the
not Eshet Chaver.
If it was, we consider her...
You might say Eshet Chaver Kechaver.
Yeah.
Rabbi, when you say she knew how to learn, or a person knew how to learn...
That means she knew that this was forbidden to do.
I know, but that statement, does that mean that they individually knew how to sit down and read and learn? What do you mean by learn? Know how to
no,
learn?
She knew that law. She was taught.
She knew the law.
Yeah.
So Rabbi, in the times of Hizkiyah, where everyone was a Talmid Chacham, then they wouldn't need any witnesses.
According to Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, yeah.
So Rabbanan always wanted witnesses regardless.
Good, but I'm saying according to Rabbi Yisib, Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, you didn't, but according to Chacham, and that's Talocha, by the way, Talmud Chacham also needs the Hasra. But Rabbi Yisib, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm saying, holds, so therefore the Chachamim hold, you need 23, because they hold like Rabbi, not this Mishnah, they hold like Rabbi Yisib, Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi, in the older time, they would have like classes for the woman?
No.
By rabbi? Or
nope.
By rabbi's
son? All by the mother in the house.
Well, how did the mother in the house learn?
From her mother. Okay. There were a few exceptions. Like Brurya used to teach 300 halachas a day to the men.
Kick them if they didn't speak out loud.
Yeah, Brurya was a tough lady, but she was daughter of Chanina Ben Tradyan. She was, Nachman had a wife, Yalta, that would ask very good questions in learning. There were exceptional cases. As a rule, women didn't learn.
But the important laws...
So one opinion says, Ben Azai says, if you teach your wife Torah, so you can teach her Tiflis. It's the corruption.
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
If you teach women Torah, it's like teaching them corruption.
What do you mean?
They'll use the Torah to... do what they want.
But if I learn something, I'll go share with my wife.
That's good. Today they do it.
You're going to say, Rabbi says the men don't have to work in the house. That's what you're going to go say. You have to go.
Better not say that. I'm going to get stoned.
But that's what they do. And that's what we do.
They'll be Adam Zaymimin. Okay, Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says, another case. They warned her that if she committed adultery, she's going to get whipped. But they didn't tell her she's going to die. And that's the argument of Rabbi Yishmael Rabbanan. The Tanan, Makis, Bishleisha, the case of when somebody is supposed to get lashes, like they ate chazer, right? And they were warned and everything. They get, how many people, Bezdin, do you need? Three. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Omer, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, they said, Ba'asim Mishleisha, you need 23. Okay? In other words, they didn't warn her. When this woman is about to commit adultery, they said to her, you're going to get lashes if you do it. So therefore, if she did it, she gets lashes. They can't kill her because they didn't warn her that she's going to get killed. But she gives lashes. Now the question is, what size Bezdin can give lashes? Is it 3 or 23? So Rabbi Shmuel says you need 23. That's like the Chachamim hold over here, 23. Rabbi Meir holds like the Chachamim that 3 is enough to give Malkus. So Rabbi Meir says 3 is enough.
But the Torah didn't say that she has to get Malkus.
You're right.
They gave
but if
her
they
the
warned
wrong,
her a punishment.
The wrong
but
punishment.
Nevertheless, the she's going to get Malkus because that's what they warned her for.
Even though that's not what the Torah.
And Jason brings down the Gemara in Makis, Lav Shenitan, Lav Zardes Bezdin, a Lav that was warned to Bezdin, like an olive. Even though Mises is Bezdin, you still get Malkus anyway, if Bezdin can't kill you.
Mm-hmm. For any Yisrael.
Right.
But they gave Hasron the wrong.
Their own punishment.
They didn't know what they were talking
about. But that's
about.
Why the din is you would still get Malkus. Because she was told she's going to get Malkus. So Bezdin will give her Malkus. The question, how many people in the Bezdin do you need to give Malkus? 3 or 23? So that's the argument.
But it's a wrong punishment.
Doesn't
why?
Matter, but it's the right sin.
So what's
so they can't give her a punishment of death because they didn't warn her, you're going to get death. But they can give her Malchus.
So the warning was incorrect.
They gave it the wrong
warning was only the warning incorrect about the punishment, not about the crime.
Oh.
Yeah, but before you told us that if she chayv skila, when you said chayv srefa, it's...
According to that opinion, that's the different opinions over here. That's what we're talking about. Okay. One opinion says you mamish need the right punishment also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this we're not going to be able to start now because this goes a whole long Megillah.